I'm using technology today, which, if any of you, those who know me well, should be impressed. I actually was inspired by Chris and made slides, and I'm going to also use this thing, so we're just going to pray before we start that it all works, and God's purposes come to pass. So first, thank you all for coming. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for each and every person who you brought here because you have a plan and a purpose for them. There's something you want to say. There's something you want to do. And you're a good God. So Lord, we just say, have your way today. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in every area of our lives. We just want your will. We want to move with you. We want to do what you want to do. We want to walk in obedience and love for you. Come, let your purpose prevail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And did everybody say amen?
Amen.
Because you know now what you just said was so be it. So you should be expecting over the course of this morning something to happen. Because you just said, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. Okay, so this is exciting. So today we're continuing our series. Oh, I'm already a slide ahead of here, sorry. We're continuing our series. Oh, geez, this isn't going to work. Sorry. On clearing the mines in our minefield. And if I was going to put a title to what I was talking about today, I felt the Lord wanting to do is, what am I thinking and why am I thinking that? So to do that, I want us, first of all, to go back to the beginning, if you will join me. Really, to when we were all born. So if you can think of, in the natural realm, the day you were born, for most of us, I would imagine, you were born into a hospital or a home birth, but into a relatively clean, sanitary, healthy, wanted environment. And your parents were glad that you were born, and we know that in the spiritual realm, God was absolutely head over heels, excited beyond belief, because he had fashioned and formed you and couldn't wait for the day that you got to come to be on earth to fulfill the plans and purposes he has for you. But I would propose to you that we don't live just in the natural realm. We actually live in a spiritual realm. At the same time, there's two concurrent worlds that operate. And so while on one level you were born into just the natural realm, there was also a spiritual realm that was functioning at the same time. And you were, if you would imagine with me again, it wasn't actually born into this lovely hospital room, but you were born into a war. And if you can imagine your mother there, and it wasn't in the spiritual realm, this nice, clean, neat affair. There's actually war going on around. And there were those who were very unhappy to see you arrive on this earth because you came, one, to be loved by God, and you were passionately loved by God. And the devil hates that. And so he now is furious that you've been born, and you've been born into a war. And the reason I stress this is that if we live thinking that we're just born into the natural realm and this is what we do and there's nothing else happening and things go wrong and we live in the natural plane only, we live very differently than if we realize we're in a battle, that we're in a war. When you live in a war area, you are much more alert as to what's going on around you. You realize that you cannot be passive, that you have to be active and engaged, that you need to have a weapon, that you need to be prepared. Now, as Christians, though, the good news is that the war that we're in has already been won. And not only has it been won, but the enemy who faces us, while he goes around like a lion looking whom he may devour, he actually has no power or authority over us. And so it's not that we're born into a war where we become fearful, but it's just that we need to realize that we have an enemy who is against us, though who is powerless still exists. So we need to know who we are in Christ so that we can enter into and engage in this one, this love affair that we've been invited into, and then to advance the kingdom of God. So I want us to understand that when we're born, the devil looks to pile into our lives as much hurt and pain as he can. And I believe that's for twofold reason. One is, he's hoping that when the time comes and you're presented with an opportunity to hear about this God who loves you so, you will say, no, I can't believe that because there's just too much pain. There can't be a God who's that good. And if he can't get you to do that, then what he wants to do is, once you accept God, he wants you to be so filled still with pain that you can't enter into the inheritance of freedom and abundant life that he died to give you now, today, on this earth. You see, we haven't been saved or born again or given new life so that we can live in eternity with God, though that's true. We've been, Christ died so that that can happen, but that also we can live that life now. We realize that when Christ comes again, we are not going to need the gifts of healing. Because when he comes and he restores things to the way they are to be, you will not need to minister to someone with healing. They will walk in wholeness. If they're in a place of pain, you will not need to counsel and minister God's love into them so they can be set free from that, because Jesus himself will have done that. But you're to do that now. I'm to do that now. And to do that, we need to understand who we are in Christ. So the devil has tried very hard to cause us to have wrong thinking patterns. So what I want to do this morning is just to give you a very basic example of how thoughts are formed, of how we think and why we think that way. So you can go to the next slide. Oh, I've got to turn it on first. That would help, right? Okay. So we want to talk about how thoughts are formed. So to do that, I want us to just, I'm taking a random example of this little boy, let's say, who gets born. His name's Sammy. So Sam's born into a family, two-parent family, and they love him, and they are so glad they have him. His dad, though, has an issue with perfectionism. He's a perfectionist, and we won't go into why those things happen. That's a whole other preach. So he's born, and you know, he's living his life with his mom and dad, and maybe one day they're out in the backyard, it's summer, and his dad's painting the fence, and he's kind of, he's two, he's looking at his mom who's gardening, and he's watching what's going on. His dad goes in the house to get a drink, a claw, something, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go help my dad. And he walks over, and he picks the paintbrush up, and not only does he paint the fence, but he also paints the brick, and then he walks over, and he paints the chair, and his mom's busy gardening, she doesn't notice. The dad comes out, and he just flips. And he, what have you done? What are you doing touching that? What are you, get over here. Get up. Go back to your mother. What are you doing that for? Can't you do that? You're not supposed to paint that fence like the floor. What's wrong with you? Get over there. And so he's like, off he goes. And he goes to his mom. And she, of course, says, it's okay, honey. Come on. Let's go in the house here. Get him a popsicle. Come work with me. Enjoy your popsicle. And it's going to be okay. It's okay. So he's now, you have to remember, when we're little, your brain is not developed cognitively to process, oh, my dad has a bit of a perfectionist issue. So when you don't do things perfect, he gets upset, but it really has nothing to do with me. It's his issue. What you do is you go like, oh, my goodness, my dad rejected me. And I must not be good enough. So, you know, as he's growing up, maybe he makes things with Lego, and he comes, shows his dad, and his dad's like, oh, it's okay, but you know what? He's busy with work, too. He's doing something of his own, and before he sends him off, he says, well, look, but you know, you should have done it this way, and he fixes it for him. And so again, he sees and he hears, you're not good, you're rejected, you're not good enough. And this process continues on, and his mom says, he comes home with a report card. His mom's like, oh, that's really good. His dad looks, you got an A, but you got 6 B's and a C. Like, what's that? You should be able to get 6 A's or better. So he's again, oh, like this. And unfortunately, just as an aside, probably what his dad really is thinking, he loves his son, and he's thinking, I see the greatness potential in him, and I'm going to call that up, and I'm going to encourage him to be his best. But unfortunately, that's not what Sam hears. Sam once again hears, you're not good enough. But his mom's like, do you know what? I knew it was report card day. I knew you were going to do really well. I baked a cake. Come. I want you to hear. You get an extra big piece here. So he goes and he eats the cake. So what's happening is a thought pattern is being formed in him. And he's not even aware of it. He goes to school. Now because he's begun to, when he gets upset, he eats. He's a little overweight. So at school, whenever they call for teams for sports, he's either not picked, picked last. Once again, I'm rejected. I'm not good enough. I'm not wanted. So what happens, unbeknownst to him, is this thought pattern begins to form. He gets, something happens, an incident happens, and he thinks, I'm rejected. Which leads to a thought. I'm not good enough. Which is painful. And how many of you know, now this is just my personal opinion, that I believe we weren't designed for pain. We were designed originally to live with God forever. No death, no dying, no sickness, no pain. But as you know, the fall happened and now we live on this earth. And I'm sure everyone in this room realizes this earth is filled with pain. So when we experience pain, it's like, I don't like this feeling. I want to make it go away. Now there, and that's a legitimate feeling. So God has provided a legitimate way to deal with pain, and which is, I turn to Jesus. I say, Jesus, this happened. This hurts. What do you want me to do? Very often, I'll just, for a freebie, it's going to involve forgiveness. And he will help you, and he will help you, and you deal with your pain. That's the legitimate way. But unfortunately, most of us have not been raised or mentored in homes where we're taught that. So instead, we look for, when you cannot get a need met legitimately, you will look to have it met illegitimately. Because you have to have the need met. I'm feeling pain. Sammy goes, I'm feeling pain. And what he's learned is, when I feel pain and I don't feel good enough, I have something to eat. Because that makes me feel better. And he's just learned that. It's not that he has this conscious process of doing that, but this is what life has shown him. If you do that often enough, there's a chemical, God has designed our brains, there's a neurotransmitter that is called acetylcholine. And it is released to the synapses of the brain. And what it does is it helps to build a default pattern of thinking. And it's a great neurotransmitter because you're little, you touch something hot, it burns, you learn very quickly, don't touch hot things. I don't go like this. I touch the hot plate, my hand starts to burn. That's hot, my hand is burning, I should probably pull it away. I will pull it away now. No, what you do is, And that's because acetylcholine has burnt this pathway that happens like this. You know, Jonathan's learning how to drive. From when he was young, he's learned red means... So we're out, he sees a brake light go on, he sees the light turn red, he doesn't go, as he's driving, oh, the light is red. That means stop. That means I should probably take my foot off the gas pedal now and put it on the brake and apply pressure so the car will stop. Well, we'd be in an accident by then. He sees red, his foot goes like this. Again, that's acetylcholine. That's an automatic now pattern, a default pattern that's been formed in his brain, my brain, anyone who drives brain. Even if you don't drive, it's been formed in your brain. You see red, you stop, right? And then, so if I was to say to you 2 + 2, without me saying anything, already you've already thought 4. That's acetylcholine. You know those boring times tables you say over and over again? Well, the reason you do that is because you form a default pathway and the numbers come like that. So acetylcholine is great in those circumstances. But unfortunately, it's not so helpful when we have wrong thinking patterns because we form default wrong thinking patterns. And so something happens and we just naturally go there. You know, people go, I don't know why. It's like, you know, comfort food. I eat when I... Well, that's why. Now you know why. So Sam goes through life, and this is what's been happening, but God is so gracious. He's in university, and he meets a friend, and this friend introduces him to Jesus. And Sam receives Christ as his Lord and Savior. And what that means, for those of you who don't know, is that he gets born again, which is a Christian phrase for that. We see in the garden when God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. It wasn't that you died physically, but that spiritual connection, that life between you and him would die, and it did. But when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens is that spirit in you becomes born again, and you become alive spiritually. But it's important for us to realize as Christians that when Christ is our Savior, he removes the penalty for our history. But he doesn't remove our history. So if I come to Christ with a bag of stuff, supernaturally he can remove it. I had an uncle, a great uncle, gave his life to Christ. He was a terrible man. Gave his life to Christ. Used to drink 48 ounces a day. From the day he gave his life to Christ, he never had the desire to drink again. He never went through the DTs. It was like instantaneous. God does do that. We can't box God. But more often than not, what he does is, He invites us into this partnership. And he says, come, let's open this bag, and together we're going to go through your stuff. And I'm going to show you how to deal with it, because one, it's increasing our relationship. It's building spiritual muscle in you. And I want you to get the joy of the victory over the enemy in your life. The victory of when you do it and you go, yes. You don't get that, you know. I mean, you get a different feeling when God supernaturally does stuff for you, which is wonderful. But this too is important. So Sam goes to church because he is developing this relationship, and maybe he's in church and they're talking about thought processes, and he's talked to the pastor, he's talked to his friend, and he actually becomes aware, and God brings him revelation. You know what? I have an issue with rejection. So he hears about Romans 12:2 that says, renew your mind. And he reads in Ephesians where Paul again says, put off the old, renew your mind, put on Christ. Do you see there's a pattern here that God's showing us? God doesn't say, I'll renew your mind, I'll put off your wrong way of thinking, I'll put on our new way of thinking. Again, he's saying, you know, you guys, I want you to do this. Yes, I'm going to help, but I want you to do it because I'm interested in you building spiritual muscle. I'm interested in you advancing my kingdom. And to do that, you got to have spiritual muscle. And so he puts into our lives ways of, he tells us how. He doesn't abandon us to like go figure it out. He actually is wonderful. He says, this is what you need to do. You need to renew your mind. You need to read the word so there's something else in there so this process can begin to develop that's going to set you free from these default pathways of thinking that are wrong. But you have to do it. You have to engage in the war. You have to pick up the Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit, and begin to wield the word. You have to do it. And you get to have the incredible joy of working with God to see Him move in your life and bring abundant life. There's nothing better. So Sam gets excited and he starts to study the word. And he begins to say, okay. And you know what? I have to say, we are so blessed that we are born in this generation. God, isn't He good? Do you know that He created Google? I'm convinced one of the reasons being before, you'd have to go, okay, I want to renew my mind with the idea of about rejection. I need to know who I am in Christ. There's a lot of pages in here. There's a lot of scripture. You have to hunt through. Well, now you go on Google and you type in, who am I in Christ? Fafoom, up come scriptures. Now go to the scriptures and you start to study them out. Like, isn't Google great? I mean, come on. So he's all excited. And I'm sorry, I'm just catching up here on my own slide. He's all excited. And so he starts to go through the Bible, and he reads about how in Isaiah 49:16, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I knew you when I formed in your mother's wombs. My thoughts towards you are more numerous than the sands. And one of my favorites, there's many, many. I will never leave you and forsake you, but I love you. Zephaniah 3:17. I just love this one. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And so Sam, something happens now, and he feels, because you know what? You still get rejected. So he feels rejected still. He gets his little, look at this, I'm going to do this. It goes to A. Look at that, I saw you had to do that. And so, just to do it. And so he feels rejected. But now, because he's been meditating and pondering on the truth of what God says, he realizes, wait a sec, I have this defaulted pathway. And so instead, he chooses a new way of thinking. And he says, God loves me. Maybe he was here and he heard that song and he goes, I am a child of God. I am valuable. Christ died for me. And he turns and he worships. And a new pathway is created. He goes to work. Gets there and all his co-workers are going out for lunch, but no one invited him. He feels rejected. But then he says, no, but God, what do you say? And God says, I'd love to have you all to myself for lunch today. And he goes and he worships. And he begins to form a new pathway. Now, unfortunately, we're not perfect. So he does this really well 5 times. But then maybe on the 6th time, the leaf's lost. He didn't get enough sleep. Whatever it is. And instead, he feels rejected. I'm not good enough. Gets a bag of chips, Costco size, and eats them all. But fortunately, he has been reading the Word, which he also knows says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So he turns to the Word, which says, he is faithful and just, and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, he will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does he do? He goes, oh, Jesus, I can't believe that I ate a Costco bag size of chips. I didn't turn to you. Instead, I turned to the illegitimate way of managing my pain. Would you forgive me? And Jesus says, of course, come on. Let's do it again. And so this process goes on. And pretty soon, Sam begins to choose the purple pathway, the turning to God instead of to food or instead of to wrong thinking and feeling rejected. He realizes how valuable he is in Christ. And he starts to choose that way of thinking more often than he has chosen his previous old default way of thinking. Well, God, as you know, says renew your mind. Well, the reason, you know, is because he knows how your mind works. Science will always support Scripture. So there's another neurotransmitter, which is in your brain. And what happens is your brain, you don't even know this is going on. This is like amazing. You are not able, it's called cognitive dissonance, you're not able physically to hold 2 competing pathways of thought in your brain. So without you even realizing it, your brain's doing stuff here, and it looks and it goes, oh my goodness, Sam's got these 2 pathways in his brain for the same thing. We can't do that. This doesn't help. So which way is he choosing more? So once Sam, the brain realizes that Sam is choosing to worship God and look to God and feel valuable more often than he's been choosing to do the other, it releases an inhibitory neurotransmitter. And what that does, it erases the link between the old pathway and his mind is renewed. And that's how you get a renewed mind. And that's in one area. But the process remains the same. So as I was pondering what God wanted to do today over the last couple of weeks, I felt the Lord said to me, what I want to do is I want to renew minds in the area of love. Chris, can I ask you to come up and play? Thank you. You know, we've been invited into this incredible love relationship. Whether you realize it or not, God is passionately head over heels in love with you. His heart for you is only love. It's only good. And if you come and you're sitting here this morning, and as we've been listening to how thoughts are formed and what God's doing and how much he loves you, and as you're sitting there and I'm talking about how much he loves you, if you feel your heart beating a little bit faster or you feel a little bit teary or you may feel hot or cold, that's just actually the Holy Spirit is moving on you because he wants to do something this morning. God wants to increase the capacity that you have to not only receive his love, but to give his love. Because you see, Sam, what happens is he wants the food, but instead he turns to Jesus. And why does he do that? You know, the Bible tells us when it's all said and done and before Jesus comes or when he comes, there's only 3 things that will remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Willpower alone will never enable you to turn from that thing that meets your pain, that helps you assuage your pain. You know, Sam used food. Some of us use food. Some of us, it might be alcohol. It could be drugs. Some people look at inappropriate images on the internet. There's all sorts of stuff. Even as I'm talking to you, I'm sure the Holy Spirit is showing you maybe something in your own life that you've chosen to use to illegitimately deal with the pain that you're experiencing. Well, Jesus wants to deal with that for you in a legitimate way that actually lasts, that heals the broken heart. And the only way that happens is when there's love. You see, what happened to Sam was he wanted Jesus more. Yeah, that was still good. It appealed to him. But Jesus, I want you more. I like that. I may even love that thing. But Jesus, I love you more. And you can only get that by revelation from God. That love of I love you more that he wants to pour into each one of us. He wants us to understand the incredible value that we have. So if you're in a place where you feel God's moving on me and I want to know that love more, God, would you come and would you fill me with a greater capacity? Would you pour in? Then I'm going to ask that as Chris plays and I talk that you would come up to the front. And maybe like me, my father died when I was 5, and even before that, though, he wasn't present because of his pain. And so I grew up not knowing a father's love. And so when you told me about this father in heaven who loved me so, I just couldn't get it. Until one day I was at a conference, and he spoke to me, and he said, you know, you've never given me permission to father you. I want to father you. Would you let me? And I asked him to forgive me for believing the lie. That he wouldn't be a good dad. And he came and he began to father me. I gave him permission. Excuse me. I gave him permission. And it changed my life forever. And so if you have some wrong thinking about what a father's like, for whatever reason, and you want him to come in and change that. You want him to reveal what a good dad he is, what a real father is like. Then I'd ask you to come forward as well. Or if you're there and you're just thinking, you know what? I just want more of this God who is so amazing. I have him, but I want more because there can never be enough for me. If that's on your heart, then I would ask you to come forward. So if anyone would like to come forward for those three things, to receive a greater infilling and revelation of God's love for you, to have any wrong thinking about what God's as a father's love for you is like, changed and renewed, or just to receive a greater infilling of him, a greater revelation of who he is, I'd ask you to come forward now. Amen. Amen. Be expectant. Be excited. This God, while we were yet sinners, died for us. This God loved us enough that he would leave heaven, put on humanity, and experience death on a cross. Stripped naked, hung for all to see, beaten beyond recognition because of love. He loves you that much. I'm going to ask if the elders and deacons who are not forward, that if you would come, but I'm going to ask you specifically to pray, not long prayers, but just, God, would you bring revelation? Fill them with more, a greater capacity to receive your love, to understand your love. Just brief but succinct prayers of God, fill them. Come. And Lord, I just thank you for this great and amazing love that you have given us, given for us, and want to renew, refresh, and overwhelm us with.